Thank you for that song, ladies. Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. Good to see each of you here with us
this morning. Mark chapter 6. Lois and Clark's famous expedition to the Pacific Northwest in 1804 almost came to an untimely and deadly end. Half starved and almost frozen, the men staggered out of Idaho's snowy Bitterroot Mountains and into the camp of the Nez Perce Indians. The historians in Dayton Duncan and Ken Burns tell the story, Lois and Clark, the journey of the Corps of Discovery. And here's something that happened on that trip. Lois and Clark were the first white men ever to reach their homeland. In the absence of more prominent leaders who were out on a war party, a chief named Twisted Hair had to decide what to do with the weak but wealthy strangers who were suddenly in their midst. According to the tribe's oral tradition, some of the Nez Perce Indians proposed killing the white men and confiscating their boxes, their goods, their food, their weapons. And they had a lot of weapons with them and gunpowder, and if they took that, that would make them a very powerful tribe back in that time, with the rifles, ammunition. And so they were considering what to do and debating what should they do. And an Indian woman who had been captured as a young girl and taken away by another tribe, then sold to another tribe, ended up at some point in her childhood all the way near the East Coast. But through circumstances of the friends of some white people, she was able to run away and eventually had made it back to her community there, to her tribe. They called her Watkiwis, which means return from a faraway country. And she had told them for years about the fair-skinned people who live toward the rising sun. This time in her life, she was aged and dying by the time the explorers had arrived. And she had learned of the plans that people were making to kill these white explorers and to take all of their goods. And she said this. She said, "Do them no hurt." She said, "These are the very people who helped me." She was showing compassion. She was saying and going out of her way to say, these are the ones. They helped me. Let's show compassion to them. Here they are in this foreign land just exploring. Let's not kill them. A stranger's simple act of kindness years before saved the life of an entire expedition. Somebody who showed kindness to her years ago, in turn, she showed some kindness and compassion to some others years later. A little kindness, a little compassion can have amazing and unexpected results. Look in our passage, if you would. We find that Jesus has great compassion. The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Let me explain what has happened to this point. Christ has sent them out two by two to preach and to teach and to heal, to cast out demons. In the meantime, in chapter 6, we learned about how Herod had executed John the Baptist. That had gone back in time. So during this time, from verse 1, down to verse 30, the disciples have been out teaching and preaching and all the things that Christ had told them to do. They came back and gave a report. And then after all of that work, after all of that travel, Jesus said, "Come apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And so he tells them to take a rest. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with, you say the word? Compassion. Moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Not a big meal, is it? It's one person's lunch. It's a child's lunch. Verse 39, he commanded them to make all to sit down by companies upon green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And he took up 12 baskets, or they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. On this day, God took a lunch from a lad and made it a feast, if you would, for thousands and thousands of people. The disciples have come back to report on their preaching and healing activity. And Jesus commands them then to go apart and rest a while. Rest is important to God. And he rested on the 7th day of creation. Here, after all of this work and going out to ministering, he says to them to take a rest. The Lord endorses vacations, a change of vocation, a change of location, a change of routine. All of that can constitute rest. And he said to go and rest. Friends, today, make sure when you take a vacation, that's a good thing, but make sure you take God with you. I wouldn't go take a vacation and not go to church. I'd find a church to go to when I'm on vacation to take the Lord with me. I hope that you do that as well. And then we find that Jesus, after having some rest with the disciples here, he tells and he looks at the people, rather, with great compassion. I have to turn back the page, but look at it, if you would. In verse 33, the people saw him departed. They came to him, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Why was he compassionate toward them? Because they were as sheep having no shepherd. And he has this great sense of compassion towards these people. Jesus sees them like a sheep, and like a lot of sheep, rather, like a shepherd would see them. The shepherd leads and feeds the flock. Here's a, by the way, just as the start of the message begins, a pastor is to lead and to feed the congregation of the Lord. And he's an assistant, if you would, to the shepherd. The great shepherd is Jesus, the great shepherd. The pastor leads the congregation to serve the Lord, to fulfill the work of the ministry, to live for Christ. The pastor feeds the flock. He preaches and teaches the Bible. The Bible is the bread of life. And that's what a pastor does. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You may not enjoy the taste of every meal, but every meal is important. Every time we gather around the Bible, you may say, well, I don't really like that message that much, but any Bible message, the Bible message is important to get the Word of God out. Some sheep will scatter, won't they? As Christ looked down, he saw them with no shepherd. They were kind of moving about like sheep with no shepherd. Some were going astray. Some were going away. And he looked out with great compassion to them. Some people will scatter just like the sheep will scatter. Some of these people scattered from the good shepherd. Here's Jesus. Some people said, I don't like your message. We'll find that in the coming chapters. Sometimes that happens. Sheep will go away from shepherd. Jesus is moved with compassion here. The word compassion means to have bowels yearning, to be moved with. He had this deep urgency, this great sense within him, his whole being just was really moved towards these people because he saw them in need. They had so many different needs. It wasn't that they were hungry at this point. He saw the spiritual needs. He saw people that were hurting physically. He saw people that were hurting in relationships. And people that were struggling with life in general. And he had this great sense of compassion towards them. Friends, it's one thing to say that you have compassion to somebody, but compassion is more than just saying, I have compassion to somebody. It's doing something about it. He was moved. That's a word of action, isn't it? He was moved with compassion. It's one thing to say that you love somebody. It's another to demonstrate it. It's one thing to say, oh, I feel bad for this person, or this was a terrible situation, and just observe that. It's another thing to show compassion and to do something about it. The Bible says that he was moved with compassion because they were as sheep having no shepherd. And the very next phrase says, and he taught them many things. If a pastor of a congregation wants to help his church people, he'll help his church people come to church to hear the message, the preaching of the Word of God. If you want to help somebody, I don't know what to do with my life, and I'm trying to search, what should I do? We need to gather around the Word of God. The Bible says here that he taught them many things. His solution with his compassion was, they have great needs. Let's get them together and show them what the Word of God is. And that's what we do as a church as well. I read just last week, maybe you did as well, there was a police officer. He pulled over a pizza delivery guy. The pizza delivery guy was speeding down the road in his residential area, and so he pulled him over and was just going to give him the ticket and let him go on to deliver the pizza. But he noticed some drug paraphernalia in the back seat of the car. So he calls in another officer, and they arrest that pizza delivery guy. Now, this officer looks at the pizza sitting in the car, and he starts to think about somebody is hungry. Somebody's hungry. Somebody's kid is waiting for that pizza. The police officer took the pizza and he delivered it to the house. He had some compassion. Somebody was hungry. These ladies' retreats, they're a really good thing. Men, I encourage you, send your wife to the ladies' retreat next year. It's a blessing. It's always a blessing to the ladies to go. They're enriched. They learn to love God. They learn how to love you. And it's just a great thing. So men, send your wives onto the ladies' retreat. It's a good thing. Well, on the ladies' retreat, it's also exciting for men because men get to do whatever the lady normally does while the wife's away. And, you know, taking care of the kids and all that type of stuff. We went all out for our lunch on the Friday. On our lunch for Friday, we had cheeseburgers and French fries at McDonald's Playland. We had a good time. And it was a lot of fun. And so here we are on this picnic table. Some of you have been there, you've seen it. There's this picnic table at the front of this place, and we're just eating our food. I'm one of those guys that said, hey, kids, what do you want to eat? Okay, we want cheeseburgers for everybody, you know. We had a good time eating that, but we had these French fries. We were all sharing. And this little boy comes around the corner, and he jumps up on our table. He leans over into our French fry pile, and he starts grabbing our French fries. And I thought, wow, that guy's hungry. I said, Summer was closer to him. She's her oldest daughter. Instead of letting him reach in to all of our French fries, he's grabbing some of them and everything. Go ahead and just hand him a few. And so we gave him some. And then he got back down. And he ran back around the corner. And she's looking at me like, hey, what was that all about? I said, I don't know. Maybe the kid's hungry. You know, it's okay. I felt bad for the boy because it's a really cold day. And even in the place there, he didn't have any shoes on, and he didn't even have any socks on. He came around the corner again. And Summer looked at me like, what to do? I said, okay, let's start handing him all the French fries that he wants. I had just been reading about compassion. I've been studying this week about compassion. I said, this boy may be hungry. Maybe this is the only time he's ever come to McDonald's. Maybe he just really loves these French fries. I said, give him the biggest ones there. There's real nice ones there. And she started handing him the French fries and started to eat them. You know what we were trying to do? Is trying to show compassion. His mom had come around the corner, and we spoke for a little bit. And, you know, I don't know what God will do in their life. We were trying to show a little bit of compassion. He may not have had that much to do. Churches who run bus routes because they want to show compassion. There's some kids in Saratoga Springs that never hear the gospel unless they go get it. And churches that run buses, they run it because they want to show compassion. To bring people to where they can hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the multitudes. He was moved and he showed compassion by then delivering messages. And he taught them, as the Bible says, quote, many things to them on that day. Sometimes we say that we love something or we are compassionate towards somebody, but we don't back that up with action. Jesus does that in this passage. Oh, I love those babies in the nursery. There's a sign up to help with the nursery. Would you like to help? What are you talking about helping that nursery over there? Sometimes you're like that. You mean we need to help with building that next church building? You mean you're going to ask me to give to that? You know, buildings are ways that you show compassion to people. It's a place to gather. Where you show people who Jesus Christ is. You mean to help? You could say, oh, I think it's a great idea to build that. It's a great idea to get a bus. It's a great idea to have a Sunday school class. It's a great idea. Don't ask me to help. Jesus wasn't like that. He saw some compassion, or he saw some people, and he saw a way to show compassion to them. Here were 5,000, over 5,000 hungry men surrounding Jesus. Matthew informs us that there were women and children as well. So you just think about this. That would be potentially between 10 and 20,000 people. It'd be more like 20,000 if both men and women had food total with them. There's a lot of people. That's more than the amount of people that live in the town of Wilton. So let's say all the Wiltonites, come on in. We're going to gather. Let's all get together and hear what Jesus says. That's what it was like. Let's see what Jesus does. That's what was going on. More than are living in Wilton today, and there's no McDonald's close by. DJs and Sam's Club are a timeline, far away in the timeline of history. And on top of that, the disciples have no money with this disciples. And then they see all of these hungry people. After Christ gives a lesson, he says, let's feed them. The disciples have an idea. Let's send them away. But he says, no, let's feed them. Now, Jesus knows what it's like in church when a big idea is given and someone asks, how much does it cost? Because he didn't even ask anything about it here. He just said, let's feed them. And they said, well, we don't even have any money. You want us to send them away? Let's send them away. We don't have 200 denarii. We don't have any money here to give away. Folks, a better question than how much is who does it impact? Who does it impact? Jesus saw these people. They had a moment to impact them, to be able to teach them and to minister to them. And now he says, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And the irony of that question is they didn't have any money at this point. They had nothing. So who does it impact is a better question than how much. 200 penny worth of bread is about 8 months' wages in the Roman denarii of the time. In today's money, we would estimate maybe around $10,000. That's a lot of money just to say suddenly, let's go buy a meal for all of these people. You see, Jesus sees a great need for these people to be fed, and he doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't say it's just a good idea. He says, let's do something about it. He was moved with compassion, and everybody that was hungry that day left absolutely. Our message today is the day that no one left hungry. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. We're already amazed if you look at this passage and consider what you did on that day many years ago. Lord, we thank you that you are the great God. You're the God of miracles. Even though there's no miracle workers today, you still work miracles. We pray that you would increase our faith. We pray that you would use this passage to teach us your word, that your spirit would use it and challenge our hearts, that we would trust you in every aspect of our life, and Lord, that we would be a compassionate people. Father, we pray if there's one here without Christ as your personal Savior, they would pray today and be born again. They would accept the gift of salvation this morning. Lord, help us then as we consider this compassion, that we would respond to your compassion each day. Bless now this message, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. God has compassion. God has compassion for you. He looked at these people and he had this great yearning, this great compassion for them, and he has that for you as well. When you start to wander away, He wants you to come back. When you are fearful, He wants to replace your fear with faith. And when you are hungry, God wants you to be fed. He has great compassion. And today I would challenge you to respond to the compassion of God. Respond to the compassion of God. I'll give you five ways from this passage to respond to His compassion. Number one, how can I respond to God's great compassion towards me? In verse 34, we can know the Lord. We can know the Lord. When Jesus, He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. And before He saw the people, they came out to where He was. Look at verse 33. The people saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran afoot thither out of all places and outwent them and came together unto them. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many motives for why a person would come to church or why someone would go out to where Jesus was back in that day. Some people came to see a miracle. Some people came to be healed. Somebody's son was sick. Somebody's daughter was sick. Somebody had a withered hand, or their bones weren't working right, or they had some kind of a problem with their white blood cell count, and they were bleeding all the time, and they needed some help. And so they came out to be healed. There were some people there for a motive just like that. There were other people there who wanted to hear His teaching. They had heard some of His message already. People were talking about, there's a man out in the wilderness. He comes into Capernaum sometimes, and He's teaching this, He's teaching that. And they were interested in, what is He teaching? And who is this teacher? This miracle worker some would come to see. This teacher some would come to see. Others would just come out to see what the excitement is all about. What would motivate so many people to leave their cities, to leave their occupation, to leave their schoolhouses, to leave their synagogues, to come out to a desert place to hear someone teach or to see this miracle? What is going on? I'm just going to go because everybody else is going. That could have been a motive. I don't know what your motive is for being in church today, but I'm glad you're here. Whatever their motive was to come out and hear Jesus Christ, He was glad they were there as well. Some people came because they were looking for the Messiah. And some of these things started to resonate with them about what He was teaching and the miracles that He was performing. And some were devoutly looking for the promised Messiah that God had foretold so many years ago. And they came out looking to see, is this the Messiah that I'm looking for? We need to know the Lord, whatever your motive is. That could have been some of their motives. Then consider His message, the meaning of His message. The Bible says that He taught about the kingdom of heaven. That's in Luke. He taught about the kingdom of heaven. Repent, we read it earlier in the book of Mark. Repent, repent, believe in Jesus for salvation. This is His message. Repent of your works for salvation. Repent of being a good person for salvation. Repent of being religious and going to the synagogue for your salvation. It's not that for your salvation, but turning to Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the kingdom that people were looking for, He said, I'm the king of this kingdom. Some of them were looking for something immediate here and now, a physical kingdom. He had something so much more, the kingdom of heaven. And so He taught them many things, a lot of them having to do with this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Has there been in your life a moment when you have repented, trusted Jesus Christ? I'm talking about a specific moment where the Bible uses the term born again. Now, sometimes you'll hear a preacher preach about the Word of God and how a person gets saved, and somebody comes along and they plant a seed, then they water a little bit, and then they water some more, and eventually there's a harvest. And that's one way that we could talk about salvation, when the Word of God keeps coming, the Holy Spirit keeps working. But the Bible teaches another way, another illustration, if you would, about salvation, and it's in John chapter 3. If you would find that, please, John chapter 3. So the Lord will use the Word of God and His Spirit of God. He's knocking on your heart's door and wants you to be saved. Somebody will come along and witness to you. Somebody will come along and read a Bible verse to you or give you a tract. Or you'll come to church for a little bit and hear some Bible preaching. Or come to Sunday school and the Lord's working in your life and you need to respond to be saved. The Lord's saying, be saved, trust in my Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what could happen then as the Lord's working in your life. There's a man named Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews, John chapter 3. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When you were born into this world, you have a birthday. There's a moment sign in your certificate saying when you were born. There's a specific moment. Look what Nicodemus says. Now, keep in mind who Nicodemus is. He is a religious leader. He has most of the Bible memorized. He is a man who knows the Old Testament inside and out. He knows the Torah. He can quote it to you if you ask him. He knows so much about the Lord, but he's never been born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a water birth. The water breaks, the baby comes out. He's saying, he's talking a physical birth, a water birth, like we've all experienced already. Verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's a physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's a spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. Has there been a moment in your life, friend, today, that you've accepted the gift of eternal life? That you've received Jesus Christ, that you've been born again. There's a specific moment. When I was 7 years old, I asked Christ to forgive me of my sin and save my soul. I was seven, a specific moment that I was born again. If somebody asked you if you were to die today, I know I'm going to heaven. Would you be able to say that? Would you be able to point back? You may not know the exact day, you may not know the exact hour. But there was an exact moment where I expressed to God, God, I am a sinner. I deserve hell. I'm no good. But Lord, you came and died on the cross. You shed your blood so that I could be forgiven of my sin. Lord, would you please forgive me of my sin and save me? And when you do that, it's a thing of faith, childlike faith, simple faith. Christ, in just a few moments, as we give an invitation, you can invite Jesus Christ to your person. Born again. So we need to know the Lord. Whatever reason they came to know more about Him. Number two, this morning, how can I respond to God's compassion? Listen to the Lord. Notice in verse 34, they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and He had great compassion because He saw them in that condition. And then it says, He began to teach them many things. Luke tells us in Luke 9:11, He spoke about the kingdom of God. And so He starts to teach. How does a shepherd care for his sheep? He preaches to them. He teaches to them. He gives them Bible messages. That's how a shepherd cares for his sheep. They needed direction. They needed teaching. He gave them the message by teaching them the many things that they needed to hear. So He teaches, He targets His message. He was teaching to an entire congregation of sheep that needed to hear His message. Now, some sheep get more feeding than other sheep. Have you noticed that? Sometimes people come to church and sometimes people don't come to church. So who gets more feeding from the Bible? The people who come to church service more. They get more from the shepherd of the flock. He gave them the message that they needed to hear. Now, He was not teaching to the Pharisees. There may have been some out there. They're not called out in this passage. But He saw a whole group of sheep who needed to hear the shepherd's message. Now, that's important because a lot of times church members even will come to church and they'll say, Hey, let's have a message. Really give it to the other guy. That's a Pharisee. That's a Pharisee. He wasn't preaching to the Pharisees here. He was preaching to the sheep that were scattered about as sheep having no shepherd. Sometimes we get all excited about a message that calls everyone else's sin out and problems out, but really we need to come. Lord, teach me today. I'm coming to hear a message from you. It's not about somebody else. It's not about the lost person down the street. It's about what you want to teach me today from your word. Then I can take that to those around. The pastor will preach to his congregation the truth that they need to hear. By the way, some sheep are spiritually malnourished because they're not near the shepherd to hear the message. I believe visiting folks are important. Jesus went around, walking around, healing the sick, and also teaching salvation. But then you find all these disciples. The disciples came to him. And the disciples came around after they got saved where the message was at. When a shepherd wants to get the sheep together, listen, they get around God. When a church wants to get together, they get around God's word. Friends, today, don't wander away from this book. Don't wander away from the preaching of the word of God in the local church. Know the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Respond to his message. Listen to him. And then number three, let God take care of you. Let God take care of you. John R. Rice, entered the ministry in 1923, and for the next 57 years was a pastor, an evangelist. He was the founding editor of the newspaper, The Sword of the Lord. Maybe you've read that newspaper. Rice said this, "When I first began preaching, I remember how I wept at the beginning to the end of my sermons. I was embarrassed of it. This was wholly unlike the college debating, the commencement addresses, and the other public speaking which I've been accustomed to doing. The tears flowed down my cheeks almost continually, and I was so broken up that sometimes I could scarcely talk. Then I grew ashamed of my tears and longed to speak more logically. As I recall, I asked the Lord to give me better control of myself as I preached. My tears soon vanished away, and I found I only had the dry husk of preaching left. Then I begged God to give me again the broken heart, the concern, even if it meant tears in public and a trembling voice. I feel the same need today." He said, "We preachers ought to cry out like Jeremiah. Oh, that my head were waters, my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep night and day for the slain of the daughter of my people." He said, we need to have compassion for the lost and remember the eternal consequences of not trusting in God. When was the last time you had that type of compassion? You saw a lost person. Instead of condemning them with what they're doing, they're already condemned. You said, there's a lost person. What kind of compassion do you have? Notice what these disciples do. The Lord God took care of them. He tells them to do something first. Notice when the day was far spent, verse 35, they came to him and said, "This is the desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said to them, "Give ye them to eat." Saying to him, "Shall we go buy 200 penny worth of bread? Give them to eat." He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And they knew, he gave 5 to 2 fishes. You see, they collected the food. They didn't have much food, but he said, "You go out and find out how much food you have and bring it to me." And they brought 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The loaves are small. The fish are probably not too big as well. So they collected the food. The lad had some food. In John chapter 6, we learned about him. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish here. Somebody's mama had packed his food before he left. Maybe she baked the bread. Maybe he caught the fish in the Sea of Galilee. I don't know, but she was the only one who prepared him for that day out of the 5,000.
In anticipation. You see, God had them do something. God had them go around and collect the food, and God also had them sit down then in anticipation. In verse 39, he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And so they did something as well. Here's groups of 50 people all sitting together. Here's a group of 100. Here's 100 people all sitting together. And they all sat down. Just imagine this with me for a moment. The lapel's dead. That's all right. Just go back to this one here. It's fine. It's not working today? Incredible. Maybe somebody would like to take this. All right. Thank you. We like to be flexible in ministry. Okay, that's working a little bit. So imagine with me for a moment. We know who Christ is. If you're saved today, say amen. Amen? You know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Imagine with me for a moment. You're sitting in one of those groups of 100 people. You see this boy walk by, and he has his little lunch bag or basket. He's not dressed, but that's it. And they said, okay, sit down. We're going to have something to eat. How hopeful would you be? Here's 5,000 plus people, and they all sit down. Now, God is a God of order. And so in an orderly way, the disciples then have them all be seated. And then the Lord prays, and he gives them the food. But do take this point for a moment. The disciples collected some food. Sometimes we hear people say, just let God do it. Sometimes God wants us to do something, and then he'll take the rest of it. He said, go ahead and sit down. God's a God of order. Go ahead and sit down. Do this in an orderly way. And they did. There was some organization to that. And they did it. And then they allowed the Lord, or God then did, what he was going to do. Just imagine what that would have been. By the way, here's a thought on the side. If any of the people said, I'm hungry, I'm out of here. That's it. I'm going to leave. There's nothing to eat around here. It's miles to the next place to get something to eat. People aren't baking bread all day, and there's no McDonald's like we're familiar with today. They wouldn't have had the sandwiches, the fish sandwiches, if you would, that they were going to be giving out later on. Sometimes church members are just like that. You get tired of Bible preaching, and they'll go look for something else. Listen to this. You better watch out, because if you were looking for something else, you're going to miss out on a miracle. You're going to miss out on the message. You're going to miss out on seeing the Lord do a great work. So they collected food. They sat down in anticipation. And the Lord himself did the rest of the work. Look at verse 41. When he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them. And they did all eat. It's impossible. But it was a miracle. God did the impossible that day. And they took up extra food, 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. The Lord multiplied their feeble effort at feeding the people. Oh, here's the lunch this lad had. It wasn't enough for anybody, just for him. But God took it and multiplied their feeble effort to feed the people. He multiplied their resources of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And everybody could have as much fish sandwiches as you'd like to eat that day. Something made something incredible out of it. He multiplied their resources. He gave them more blessing than they needed. He took up so much after. Had so many leftovers. I wonder who ate those leftovers for the next few days. Somebody did. They took up some leftovers. Look today, you have needs in your life. There are needs in your family. There are physical needs that you have. You have parents' needs for your children. There are relationship struggles. You're trying to decide what to do about a house, what to do about a work situation or something like that. God can work a miracle in your life. He can meet the need. We're looking at our missions conference. We always ask the Lord to bless our missions conference. Lord, increase our faith. Help us see the thermometer go up. See some more missionaries go out into the field. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to reach the goal this year. Listen, anything's possible with God. God can do that. Build another building. Put up another structure, start another ministry. Oh, it looks like a really big thing to do. Pay that college bill, go on that mission trip, pay off the medical expenses. I don't think I have the resources to do that. God does. God does. He can take what little we have when we give it to him. He can multiply it, and he can work a miracle in our lives. Know the Lord. Respond to him by knowing him, by listening to him. By letting God take care of you. Would you let God take care of you with whatever situation you're facing right now? Just give him what you have and let him take care of the rest. Next, number 4, look to heaven. I love verse 41. You may want to underline some of the words here. Because when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven.
look up to heaven and blessed them, and break the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them, and the two fishes divided among them. You see, he looked up to the heavens. He was praying to the Lord. Now, sometimes the demand looks greater than the provision. Isn't that true? The demand looks greater than the supply. I don't think we have enough to do this. I don't think we have enough to be able to go to the doctor. I don't think we have enough to, you fill in the blank. But sometimes the demand looks greater than the supply. John 14:13 says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Folks, God is greater than the demand, and God is greater than the supply. He's greater than both of them. He's greater than all of it. You need to be able to trust the Lord like this. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He prayed to the Lord. He gave thanks to the Lord. Friends, he gave thanks before the miracle. They didn't have enough food. He gave thanks for the food that he had. He blessed it. Sometimes we're not thankful for the food that we have. Isn't that true? I don't like fish sandwiches. That's what they have. They had fish and bread. They had fish sandwiches. Be careful when you act like that or say something like that. You and I should be thankful for any food that God gives us. By the way, in the Bible, they meat, fish, like in this case, he ate fish and bread. The Lord could have made vegetables to appear or fruit. He did not do that. It's not a vegetarian book. It's all right to eat meat. The Lord does that. Pray to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Ask for the blessing of God on your life. We need to get to this word blessing, the word blessed. It means to praise, to speak well of. Lord, I'm speaking well of you for this food that we're about to eat. And keep in mind, he breaks it afterwards. He blesses it before. They didn't have enough before. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for feeding all these people. They didn't have it yet. And then he starts to break it up. Then they go with the basket and they start to distribute it. And then they still don't run out the whole time. This miracle happens after the blessing is given. He was speaking well of God. Friends, note this. Whenever we complain, we are not speaking well of God. And how can we expect God's blessing if we do not speak well of him? Know the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Let God take care of you. Look to heaven. And then finally, live with compassion. Live with compassion. The disciples learned a very good lesson on that day. Oh, let's send them away. Let's send them away. We don't have any food here for them. Let's send the people away. Let them fend for themselves. Let's send them away. But the Lord says, no, let's not send them away. Let's minister. Let's show some compassion. You see, it's one thing to say, oh, I'm compassionate about something. It's another thing to do it. He says, don't send them away. Let's show them compassion. Let's give something to them. Oh, but Lord, we don't have any money. We don't have 200 denarii. We don't have any way to do this. Oh, no, I'm here. He says, I'm here. You know what? Let's just keep it. He's showing them, I'm here. Folks, when we have God with us, that's all the supply we need. They learned a great lesson for ministry. They learned a great lesson for life. Let's send them away. No, minister to them. There's nothing here to work with. No, Jesus is there. That's all that we need. You see, Jesus himself is all we really need to show real compassion in this world. And he can supply the rest. When we do our part, God will supply the rest. If that's a building, if it's something in your family, if it's driving a bus route, whatever it is, let's step out by faith and follow the Lord in our daily lives, trusting him. And show compassion. If there are lost people around you, if you would show just a little bit of compassion and tell them about Jesus Christ, they probably have been waiting for you to talk to them. Show some compassion. There's some people that are wondering what they should do. Just show a little bit of compassion to them. It's one thing to say that you love or have compassion. Another thing. Years ago, I was in a church, and this church had a bus route. And the kids, we picked up some kids in this bus route. I think there were 5 kids. Eventually, mama of these 5 kids started to talk. I remember when the mama of these 5 kids got sick. They were coming on the bus route. She got sick. She started to talk on the bus route. She was married to a police officer in our town. Now, most police officers are good law-abiding, standing citizens. Many of them are Christians as well. But not so for this man. Well, she had these five kids. There was another kid on the way. And I remember that there were some great needs in that home. Now, I believe there are three things every parent should teach their child before they leave home. Besides reading and writing, of course, reading is so you can read the Bible and study the Word of God. You need to teach them spiritual things. But there are three other things. You need to teach your kids how to manage money. The Bible principles for that. They need to know not to spend more than they take in. They can go into debt and lose a lot of things throughout life. That's something that every parent should teach their kid. If they haven't taught them, they're not ready to leave at home. A second thing, I really believe parents need to teach their kids is how to sweat. I'm really practical. How to sweat. There are days, there's moments where you're around bodies of water. If you don't know how to swim, you're going to go down. And I believe every parent, if you find a body of water somewhere, throw them in, teach them how to swim. Do it. It's worth it. If you can't afford lessons, teach them yourself. Even the paddle. It's important. I've known too many people who drown because they've not been taught how to swim. And the second thing, or the third thing rather, is how to drive the car. How to drive the car. Here's one of the main reasons why. This lady is 30 years old. She's never driven a car. She has five kids. Her husband starts to be a real jerk at the house. He says, I'm not going to take you to get groceries. We had some ladies go in there and visit with her. They looked in the coffee, there was nothing in. They had no food. She had no way to get there. It was 3 miles from the nearest store. Our church ran the bus route because of compassion. And I asked some ladies in the church to help. I remember coming home one day and saying, Natalie, what kind of food we have around here? We put some food down here. And gave them this lady. I remember, well, that's a short-term solution. You know, what can we do? We had some church ladies take her to the store. They picked her up in their car. And we did that for a while. But then that's also a short-term thing. Drop off the wheels and things. The husband is being a loser. And what else could we do? We wanted to show some compassion. I remember asking some ladies to teach her how to drive a car. And then some other people said, oh, we'll help. And somehow, I don't remember all the details, somehow she got a car. After the deacon wife at our church taught her how to drive a car, before long, she was able to go and get some food for herself. And all that we were trying to do was show some compassion. Oh, there's somebody that needs some help. Oh, that's just a tragedy, you know? Walk away from it. We couldn't do that. May God help everyone here be like God and show compassion to somebody. We need to show compassion. And then may God help us to respond through the compassion of God. You can say no to it. You can walk away. Some people walk away from the great shepherd. But let not that be you today. Let's try to go today. Thank you for your good attention this morning. Respond to the compassion of God. If you say, Pastor Harness, the Lord has challenged me about knowing the Lord and listening to the Lord. He spoke about being born again. Friend, today nobody's looking around. It's just myself. And I want to pray with you. If you say, Pastor Harness, I've never been born again. I don't know that there's a specific moment where I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to save my soul. I've not expressly said to him that I believe in Christ for my eternal salvation, what he did on the cross. But if I could be saved today and know more about it, oh, I'd like that. I've never been born again. As far as I can tell from what you're talking about today, I've never been born again. God's working in my life about that. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Just raise your hand very quickly. Nobody's looking. I'm just like to be born again. All right? And then maybe God is working in your life about this. There's some things that God's given to me to do. Maybe it's like going out and collecting the food, like the disciples did, or sitting down in order, showing some order. But I realized I must let God take care of the rest. Maybe in my home, my workplace, and considering this house or whatever you're facing. You know, I'm going to do what God wants me to do with it. But I need to trust God as well. That's what these people have to do. God's challenged me that I would let him take care of me. If that's you today, would you raise your hand around the sanctuary? I'm going to do my part. Maybe you're like this. You want to look to heaven. He looked to heaven. He blessed the food before it was multiplied. He said thank you before they had given everyone something to eat. I'm just going to be thankful to the Lord. I'm going to look to heaven. I'm going to be a person of prayer. I'm going to let it begin with praising the Lord and speaking well of my God. If I want any blessing of God, I recognize I have to be one that prays for him, one that shows this blessing towards him. God has challenged me to be a blessing towards the Lord in prayer. If that's true, would you raise your hand today? That's work with you about that. And God bless you today. And finally, this was our last point today, to live with compassion. You see, everything that Christ did, he did so that we would emulate. We're to walk in his steps. He was moved with great compassion. It's more than just saying, oh, I feel bad for somebody who's doing something about me. You say, God has challenged me, and with God's help, I want to live with compassion. That's fine. If there's a need, I want to help meet that need. If there's something I can do to serve so that people would come to faith in Jesus Christ, I want to do that. If that's helping with the building, if that's helping with the nursery, whatever it is, if it's a neighbor who needs some food, I want to show some compassion by God's grace today. That's my prayer. If that's you, would you raise your hand around the sanctuary? God bless you. Many thanks. Good. Thank you. Let's pray together, and then we'll have an invitation. We invite you to respond to God's compassion today. Father, we thank you for your word. There are many needs here. You're meeting many needs with your word, by your spirit. We pray that you would help each one respond how you're leading today. Bless now as only you can, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand to your feet.